Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the Committee of the Whole for City Council for October the 18th, 2021, to order at 6:45 PM. And the reason for the Committee of the Whole this evening is to expand. We've had a number of conversations and meetings. We did the downtown evaluation for opportunities, and this is kind of a building off of that. Some month or so ago, we considered and passed an ordinance to entertain and hire Mr. Glenn Grisdale from Revel out of Bowling Green to discuss the TIF district at the recommendation of the administration. So with that, in attendance this evening are all members of council, myself, Mr. Fry, Mrs. Capellini, Mr. Hayden, Mr. McCann, Ms. Stow, Mr. Richardson, and Mrs. Westfall. Also along with us this evening are Mayor Stow, Mrs. Brining, Mrs. Booker, Mr. Sanford, Mr. Silvernail, Mr. Schreier, and I think that's it, and obviously Mr. Grisdale is with us as well this evening. So with that, Mr. Sanford, if you could start us off just real briefly, and then bring Mr. Grisdale on, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mark. I will do that. I sent you the memo with the packets, and Glenn will update you on the conversations and some of the meetings he's had, and sent the memo to you to review, and he's going to go through that, and I think we'll have plenty of time for questions, too. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Glenn.
Can I ask a question? Is there a page two to this memo?
No.
Just one and three?
Let's see here. Oh.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
It should be.
Yeah, it didn't download, so. I was confused reading it. At first, I thought I was just being normally confused, then I realized I was missing a page.
Oh, well,
Mr. Hayden, I was confused as well, but I didn't figure out there was a page missing. I kept on rereading it, thinking, I must just be too tired.
So while the extra pages, we're going to be able to get copies of that? Well, those extra pages are going to be provided to us here in a moment.
It's just page two, right?
Yes.
How many pages are there?
Well, is there a page four?
Yes.
Page two and page four.
Oh, there's page four, too.
But while we're waiting, let's not delay, Mr. Grisdale.
Glenn, we don't know what you wrote.
This is like a radio announcer for the baseball game. Because we can't see it, you have to do a better job describing it to us so we can envision it in our minds. Before you, obviously, I've introduced you, just give us your address of your business and the like, so for the public record.
Sure. Glenn Grisdale with Revel, 130 South Main Street, Suite 302, Bowling Green, Ohio. 43400. So the second page should have been the current project assumptions, and then with some of the paths forward. So hopefully when that comes, you'll have that. So on page one, I outlined how we got here, and I outlined who we spoke to. So over the past few weeks, Bill and I have met with the schools. We also, I had a phone call with someone from the Lucas County Auditor's Office, Curtis Deere. And last Tuesday, we met with Lisa, the school treasurer. We also met with Dr. Veronica Molly and Matthew Fisher from Marshall Memorial. So when you brought me on board and when I initially talked to Bill, he said there were some project assumptions, and that's on page one of the memo. So I understood that you were desirous of doing some sort of public improvements. We didn't know how much, but the improvements were basically outlined in Exhibit B, and that was the handout of public improvements that you were looking to do, streets, gates, water, sewer, all the public grounds stuff. They were based upon the recommendation of the 2020 plan. Also, the general assumption is that the cost of these improvements would have not been finalized, but they would be in around $3 million. Also, another...
Where did that number come from?
That was a number that I had more than mentioned. That was just for the streetscape, but he had since indicated that this body's not really clear as to what you may want to do to the streetscape. There may be some parking lots, parking structures, building reconsolidation, and stuff like that.
Right, the downtown plan talked about a possible public parking structure, which I don't think I'd ever want to do, but I understand that, you know, that's in the mix there.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, but originally, it was just the streetscape, and there was a cost of $2 to $3 million. One of the other assumptions, too, was that an incentive TIF would be the most appropriate TIF vehicle for you. And incentive TIFs, when you look at, when you distinguish them under higher vice code, you've got general partial TIFs and you've got incentive TIFs. Over the years, incentive TIFs traditionally work well when you have a large residential component. If you have a project where there's a residential developer, and they say, hey, we love your area, but we don't want to put in roads, all the water, the sewer, all that stuff. You use an incentive TIF in that way. For this case, because what you were looking to do was enhance the generally the commercial spaces and the multifamily spaces in the downtown, which in the auditor's eyes count as commercial, the general partial TIF is the best vehicle for you to use. And the other assumption was is that there were no specific projects.
You said a general?
A general TIF.
Is what we ought to be thinking about?
Yes, instead of an incentive TIF. Yeah, that's on page 2.
Okay.
Of this memo, yeah, yep. The other assumption that that we factor into the next, in the original project assumption is that there were no specific projects on paper, and there were no specific valuations with those projects. Usually when you start a TIF, you know the assets that you want to improve, and you know the vehicles that are going to feed you for your public finances that you put into that project. Here we really don't have the costs of the public improvements, and we don't have the costs or the valuations of those feeder projects. So that's kind of still out there. Then the last assumption that we really had to validate or falsify was whether or not you would generally benefit from the natural increases in taxes based upon the triennial reassessment. And I didn't know what the timing of that was. These were all kind of the variables when we came on board and we had to kind of ask the questions. So the first person I started with was the auditor's office, and I falsified the assumption that you would generally benefit from the natural increase in taxes. For that to happen, you would have had to have a TIF in place last year. So that's out.
So that ship sailed.
That ship sailed.
Okay.
So, but we'd be ready for the next one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. So, yeah, that ship sailed. And even there, it would have been tough to use 19% as a valuation because the other thing that Curtis did tell me is that Sylvania Township and the city of Sylvania, number one tax districts with BORs, desert. Waiting outside Anita's office, and they're getting the VORs. So they're getting their property taxes readjusted.
Imagine that.
Right. You raise them 19%, and then so that was so hard for me to kind of figure out the math on that. But anyways, that ship sailed. But you would benefit from the natural increase in taxes from the reassessments in the incremental years, 2024, 2027, 2030. The other thing that you would benefit from would be this rolling TIF feasibility, okay? So under Ohio Revised Code, over the last few years, it's been updated to allow communities to do a parcel-by-parcel rolling TIF. And the attorneys, you know, they took Ohio Revised Code and they, over the years, made it more user-friendly for communities. And one of the most user-friendly is this rolling TIF. And so when we look at the current project assumptions and we look at the possible paths forward, I've framed three paths forward for you. One would be the 75% 10-year TIF. The next path is the 100% 10 to 30 year TIF, and that would require service payments to the school. And when we met with them on Tuesday, It was really tough for them, you know, being a public body, to kind of figure out really anything, because we didn't know how much, you know, we didn't know how much the tip would be, and we really didn't know what the service payments would be. So they are pretty much of the mindset, in my opinion, that they would be for something, that they would require mandatory service payments, okay? And that's an option two. If you went 100% for up to 30 years, you could go that way. And then the third option is do nothing and wait.
No.
So let's.
Unfortunately, we got the wrong thing copied for us, so keep talking.
Okay, all right. So.
You're gonna continue, have to be the baseball announcer.
Okay, all right. So there's three paths forward. The first path is at 75%.
Yeah.
It would require us to talk to the schools. And when you do a rolling TIF, parcel by parcel, what that would mean is, within that 10-year timeframe, if any parcel came in, you can capture the increased valuation and start that 10 years then. Okay? So essentially now, we have almost a 20-year window for that 70%, 75% valuation.
So why 75?
It would require no school donation agreements, and we could start it without consent of the schools.
So if somebody comes in and makes a proposal to augment their property inside the box that's been created,
right,
and their property is then reassessed at a higher value, and therefore their property taxes would increase, correct?
Yes.
Based upon the increased value assessed by the auditor's office.
Yes.
75% of that increase, well, first of all, 100% of that increase would be paid regardless. It's just a matter of who's getting the money, correct?
Correct.
And of that, so if you have property and it's $10,000 in property taxes now, and they're doing a big renovation, and they're going to go to $20,000 in property taxes annually.
Correct.
That $10,000 extra, we as the city then would get 75% of that number, correct?
Correct, generally, yes.
And the 25% goes where?
To the schools.
All of it goes to the school?
Yes.
Okay. None to TARDA?
Right, right. I mean,
none to the other property tax entities?
25% would go to all the other taxing authorities.
Okay. So including the school?
Including the school.
It's ratioed out from there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's.
And then that lasts for 10 years. That 75% lasts for 10 years.
Right, that would last for 10 years.
So if somebody comes in and does something in year 3 and we roll the TIF, we collect through year 13. If somebody comes in and does something on another parcel in year 16, we collect through year
2026.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that, yes. And so that would extend you out almost 20 years. And that's why that would be, you know, my first choice of doing it, because it would minimize the administrative burden of having to do the service payments and all that stuff, because that money would come to you, and then you would have to cut the check out to the school district.
Right.
And PENTA as well.
So if nothing happened until year 9, absolutely no development, which is unlikely in our case, but then, and there are four projects that happen in year 9 under the rolling TIF structure, we would have 10 years for all four of those locations.
Absolutely.
For the increased property value.
Right. And okay. You would also naturally benefit from the reassessment periods in 24, 27, and 30 as well.
Right.
And so you would generally.
But we'd have to enact the TIF.
You would have to enact the TIF, right.
To get, so if we adopt this rolling TIF now, and there's no development on a property till 2026, we wouldn't get any benefit of 2024, right? On that property, if we didn't roll it until there was some development. Am I reading that right?
Restate the question.
Okay, so it's 2021.
Correct.
So we enact this 10-year rolling TIF. Okay, so parcel will get reevaluated in 2024 by the auditor. Okay? But if there's no development on that parcel, we probably wouldn't roll the TIF to that parcel until, now it's 2026, and there's a new, there's some new development, so we roll the TIF onto that parcel. We would get the benefit of future reevaluations, but not for the 2024 one, because we didn't have the TIF in place on that parcel.
So, yeah, right? So I think I know where you're going. So if you had...
In other words, we don't start to get the benefit of the reevaluations until we enact the TIF on the parcel.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. And so you'll naturally benefit from the commercial properties in this target area if they do nothing when they have the 24, 27, and 30. Okay? You'll naturally benefit from the increase in taxes, given that we don't have a meltdown and commercial valuations go down. Because that's the other kicker. You could adopt this. We could generally think that we're going to have new projects move in, and we could generally assume that you're going to naturally benefit from commercial properties appraising incrementally up in the next two triennial assessments. But that could go against you. I'm on the mindset that you're doing a lot now, and the communities that are generally doing well are going to do better, from what I've seen. Because interest rates are going to continue to kind of stay in the pocket for people to kind of mass and hoard in the communities that are doing really well, even though they might be getting expensive. It's happening in Perrysburg, it's happening here as well. And so I'm in the mindset that you're going to generally benefit from new projects, and you're generally going to benefit from your commercial properties appraising. So a project doesn't happen, or say, you've got all the commercial properties, their property values are going to get locked in the end of this year. If we get the 75% done, we could get it done by the end of the year, flush structure. Limited public hearings and things like that, it's just standard ordinance. We get it in by the end of the year, property values get locked in, you'll benefit 24, 27, 30. Naturally on parcels, commercial parcels that do nothing. Say a project comes in, they take a building that's delinquent, or, vacant or something, they tear it down, they start fresh. And they start fresh in 2024. That 10-year ticker starts for them in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get 75% of that new valuation for 10 years.
Okay, so if we did just a 10-year TIF, do we get 100%?
Mm-hmm. No.
You never get more than 75%.
Mm-hmm. You can do, that's the other option, do a 100% TIF for 10 years or up to 30 years. Okay, that's the
okay.
Other option.
So if we do a fixed term of 10 years, we can get 100% without cutting a deal with the schools, right?
75.
You just said two different things.
So
I'm not talking about a rolling TIF. Just a fixed 10-year TIF.
Yeah.
Okay? We don't need anybody's agreement, and we get 100% of the increase during that 10 years. Is that right?
No, you would get, if you do 75% for a 10-year TIF, we don't have to coordinate with the schools.
Okay, so 75% is the most you can get.
Yes.
So
we're not coordinating with the schools.
Right, so if we did a fixed 10-year TIF, we get 75%. If we do a rolling 10-year TIF, we can get 75%.
Yes.
If we do a 30-year TIF and we negotiate with the schools some different percentage, that could be in place for the 30 years.
Yes, that's option two. Absolutely. You can do 100% for up to 30 years. And there, say...
Wait a minute.
But only if the
schools agree. I thought you said 75% was the most we could get.
No.
In phase one, under program one, he's recommending.
Yeah, that's option one.
No, I'm trying to understand the law, not the options. Okay? So is there a 100% option under the law?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we could do that for 10 years?
You could do it for 10 years, yes.
With or without schools?
Anything that's over...
Yes. Anything over 75%,
yeah.
You have to have schools agreement.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we could do 75% unilaterally for 10 years.
10 years is the... In order to enact it without school agreement, you can only do 75% 10 years.
Okay.
Anything else, a longer term or an increased percentage requires a school agreement.
Okay, that's what I didn't, that's what I was trying to find out.
No, that's, it's confusing, there's a lot to it.
But option two is 100% of the third years. And that is if you say, you know, instead of, in addition to doing sidewalks, we want to do a parking garage, we want to do all of these things, and they're going to be, you know, X amount of dollars, right? That would allow you to get 30 years of valuation, you know, increases back to the city to pay down your debt that you required for those assets. Of course, you go over 100%, you go 100% for up to whatever timeframe, you have to make service payments to the schools.
When you say service payments, what, you're talking, so we cut a contract, we cut a deal and we pay them whatever we agree to pay them?
Right, yes, yeah. And that's pretty much a spreadsheet, I'm getting the school numbers. And how that would work is if a 10 million, I've got, someone like, I'll put them over here. This would be an example of the investment schools.
If we went that way, is that something the school board would vote on, or is that something the superintendent decides?
School board would have to vote on it, yeah. And they've got a meeting next week, so.
We're not going to them next week.
So how this would work, say there's another SOMO project and it's $10 million. That number goes up here in this real valuation number, okay? And because properties are assessed at 35%, that assessed value would be 3.5. And then you've got your commercial rate would be in there, the real total, which is 0.104. The school rate is what I'm looking to get. So the number that I have here is Perrysburg's current school rate, so I just ran it through the numbers there. The total tax on that would be $365,000. If the school said that they wanted to be made whole or to be held harmless, you would be making a service payment to the school for $171 a year in Penta for $10,000 a year. And the difference, the savings would be $182, that would basically be going to the city so that you could pay down your debt affiliated with the projects that you have in public zone space. That's how service payments would go.
And we're doing these calculations and not the auditor's office, is that correct?
Well, we take the auditors, yes, yep. We would generally understand what the values would be, and we would plug those numbers in. Of course, they would get actualized when the auditor, you know, when they review the final assessment, and the tax would be generated on that. But like CRA, we would grab the estimate and that's how that would work. The 100% would come to the city.
But realistically speaking, because of outside millage, unless they're doing new levies or there's a significant project like what you're describing here, the impact for most properties in the footprint would be minimal.
Minimal, yes.
And therefore, the income available to the city, regardless of the structure selected, would again be minimal, except for those new significant change properties. So if a major property retrofit occurs, a new building, whatever, that's kind of the scenario you're painting here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the other stipulation that we're on here too, that is not being able to use your other most valuable economic development tool, and that's your CRA program. Okay? So when a developer comes in, like Rich, you know, Rick, you know, Republic, he wanted the CRA benefit. Most developers do, okay? The next SOMO that comes in, if you do the streetscapes, you're going to want to capture all that valuation and pay yourself back. They might want the CRA. In that situation, you can choose which one is senior to the other, but you're going to be limiting your payment back if you do that.
So if we do one of these TIFs and we can select not to enforce the TIF on that property, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, yeah.
But if we select to enforce the TIF on the property, then there's no CRA benefit. Are we permitted by code to give them another payment of a different form?
To redirect the TIF back to them? No, you're not. You have to use the TIF money for your public improvements. If it was an incentive, you could, but it would, you know, in this case, it'd be a general public TIF.
So I want to make clear, in my mind at least, so let's assume that we have $5 million in renovations that qualify under the TIF structure.
Yeah.
But we're only going to have, as you say, $3 million worth of projected revenue coming off of this. Is the city permitted to augment that if it chooses to? So could the city dig into its pocket and write the check for the other $2 million bucks if it chose to?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so there's no limit in that regard?
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
And likewise, we could bond the entire $5 million, earmark the TIF revenues, and then obligate the city in some form or fashion, if we chose to, for the incremental, the amounts that we didn't or were not able to collect, because we don't know when the TIF, I mean, I'm personally convinced that there's stuff going to be coming in a significant way over the next 5 to 10 years, but okay, you know, that's great, but that's one person's opinion. If it doesn't happen, though, and we want to move forward with projects now rather than waiting until after we know what we're going to get, we basically have to then figure out how to pay for it out of ongoing city revenues, correct?
Yes.
And then let the TIF augment it as it becomes available?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Just to clarify that even if we have something major come in the next 5 to 7 years, though, there's no benefit to that development to be in the TIF. There is a humongous benefit to be in the CRA. They got us stuck there. How are we going to say no? We're not going to give you CRA. You're going to be part of the TIF. That's going to stop the development.
Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Well, there's another thing.
Depends how bad they want to be in downtown Sylvania.
If we have a 30-year TIF, we can give them a CRA and benefit at the end of the right. CRA isn't that long. What's that?
15 years.
We can benefit on the last 15 years for the TIF.
If we elected to do a rolling TIF now, could we then sit down and negotiate a different structure and convert it to one of those 30-year TIFs at our leisure with the school districts, provided we could come up with a final outcome?
Yes, you could do that as well. Yeah, you could rescind the current structure and create a new TIF.
But does that reset the clock?
Yes.
Does that reset the values?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could we, if we chose to, could we share more than 25% if we chose to?
You could. Absolutely.
So we could elect to do the 10-year rolling TIF and augment the payments to the schools if we chose to do so based upon some future negotiation if that's what we wanted to do.
Yes, and yes, absolutely, you can do that.
Because my concern is that if we want to move forward, I think it's impractical for us to get this done by the end of the year, given the nature of how many public meetings there are between now and the end of the calendar year for us and the schools. But if we're not under the gun with the 21 assessment, then does it matter if it slips?
Yeah, we can wait and negotiate this later. I mean, it seems to me that we would want to do, just hear what I'm hearing, I think we would want to do a 30-year TIF negotiated with the schools, recognizing the CRA that we have out there and giving people the benefit of that, but ultimately reaping the benefit of the TIF at the end of the CRA. And everybody won't ask for the CRA either. That's the other thing. You know, the natural increases we would get the benefit of. So we wouldn't be giving up that much honestly, to the schools. If we cut a reasonable deal, if we cut a 50-50 deal, say for example, I mean, what's the deal, mommy, that they'd cut with the schools?
I'm not sure.
I thought I heard that was a 50-50.
Cleo, I think, was higher than that, like 65%.
Okay. Well, I mean, if we, I mean, we can go to schools, I mean, we can do a 10-year rolling 75%. We'll do a 30-year, you know, 60-40. I mean, it's a negotiation, it's just a negotiation.
Glenn, what would the TIF need to be in place to make sure we are eligible for the 24 renewals due to that? The prior year, we have to lock in with that.
2023?
Yeah. At the end of 2023?
Yeah.
I have a hard time understanding why we would do anything before that. We just missed out on the 19%. If we have any major development in the next 2 years, most likely they're going to go for the CRA. So aren't we basically costing ourselves 2 years of collection by doing it right now?
It's my understanding inside the fund didn't ask for CRA, is that correct?
And they're not, it's not finalized, are they, is it?
No, they could still, but they have not yet.
They still could.
Mm-hmm.
The pre-94 structure that you have.
Right.
Allows them to drop off the application at the end of the construction and naturally benefit from it because.
Yes.
They're granted the benefit of the program by the legislature.
Okay.
Now, the other thing we could do, and I hate to mention with all these different variables, but you could recertify your pre-94 as post-94. And the projects, the commercial projects will be on a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do it that way. But then you're still going to get into, you know, this project got a CRA, why can't we, and stuff. The other problem too that you're going to run into, say if you do the, you know, the whole kit and caboodle with the projects that you want to do, you take out $10 million, you bond it, and projects still come in, you allow them to naturally benefit from the CRA program. And you basically are subordinate to them, so you get your last 15 years. You're going to be paying interest every year you put your money. And so that's the other cost they've been, you're going to be paying on that bond.
Well, I don't think, we don't have a project in the pipeline today.
Right. The math gets much simpler when you're probably the project in the pipeline.
And if I, and I can't speak for any of the rest of you, but if I'm not comfortable that it's a good project, the fact that it's in a TIF or outside a TIF isn't going to make any difference. I mean, it's got to be a good project and we wouldn't want to do it.
Right.
Right.
And we are.
This is the funding mechanism.
And we're relatively financially, I mean, we're in pretty good shape as a community. We have a lot of capability without the TIF. We don't need to have the TIF to fund the work if it was a good project.
So, one of the things is I'm quickly glancing through this stuff. Your third option says do nothing and wait, which is where I kind of feel like I hear some of these council members going. Can you give us a little perspective on, you started out saying you thought number one was the best option. Well, I feel my colleagues here are moving toward do nothing and wait. Can you give us any perspective on that?
So the do nothing and wait is, would be preferable if this body wanted to do more than just sidewalks. And so coming into this, I wasn't sure what that was, but if you want to do a parking garage and you want to basically implement the downtown master plan, all the things, you would want to kind of get an idea of how that income tree would come into the projects. And so the do nothing in a way allows for you to get a better understanding of how those revenues would actualize.
I don't understand how. I mean, I understand how you're going to struggle to make an estimate today based on projects you don't know what it looks like, correct? I mean, I think that's what I'm hearing. If we do nothing and wait, 5 years from now, Aren't we still going to be in the same position?
Which, what I mean is framing in the public projects like the parking garage and all that stuff. It'll give you more time to kind of frame in those projects. But you're still, if you don't know what your projects are, you're still going to be in the same predicament.
Yeah, but to me, the public projects, the expense side isn't the part that I'm concerned about. It's the revenue piece and I guess that was one of the things that I kind of understood was that you were going to try to put an estimate together, and I guess this is kind of what you were thinking.
It's really hard for me to figure out exactly what sorts of revenue you're coming in from the normal evaluations without it being project by project. Or, you know, a big solar project comes in, it's easy, we know what that would be, and it's easy to estimate the revenue from that kind of a project. But the only two projects that I know of right now are inside the five, and I believe there's another commercial or a multifamily project, which you can grab evaluation on that. But those are the only two that I know of. And I was talking to Mark Rose on working with him on the project, and you mentioned both of those. But it's tough for me to plug in the numbers and run the total tax structure.
It'd be interesting to know how much a million-dollar project would mean. A million-dollar real estate valuation increase would mean to us.
Oh, I could run those numbers easily.
In terms of
whatever number you think would be easy to populate in, I can just put that number up here. Instead of making this 100%, I would take 75% of that valuation.
What's the number? What's the number that's in there now?
10 million.
10 million. Okay, so this will work. If we get a copy of this, I could figure that out at some point. So we get a $10 million increase. Let's just say we get...
And the real total you've got in there, is that Lucas County, Sylvania City?
Yeah, it's the... which one is it? It's this one right here.
So if we have a TIF in place and there's a $10 million, there's a project that results in a $10 million increase in assessed value, then over the 10 years, we'd collect $3.65 million. Am I reading that right?
And we got to throw $1.8 million back based on his example to the schools, Penta and the city school
system. So we'd end up with $1.4 million.
You'd end up with that annual amount.
For 10 years.
Mm-hmm. That's at the 10-year rolling 75%.
So that's $1.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Now keep in mind.
That's at 75%?
This would be at 100.
Well, that's at 100, okay.
We get 100 and we're throwing back, and we're making the schools whole with this?
And this is making the schools whole, correct. Yeah, this was done in case that you thought that you wanted to do work with service payments with the schools and do something larger, and we just kind of threw in that $10 million because that's what SOMO, their project's 35 million. I put in here, put in a number.
Okay.
Something like that.
Any other questions from members of council?
Can I make sure I'm putting this in the right context for a moment? The other day we had a finance committee meeting and we were talking about $100,000 going towards studying what some of the updates we'd want to have to be done in downtown Sylvania to help kind of fuel what some of these projects might be. And so that was the budget for 2022. Now, if the next increase is 2024, that would then allow, let's say, if by the end of next year we have a clear idea of what some of the groupings of these projects might be or the different tiers, and kind of we can have a better idea of how far we want to invest or commit to this, that would then give us all of 2023 to commit to that decision, enact this TIF, and still be able to benefit from that next jump in property tax raises.
Sure.
Part of me is thinking in context of this. You asked the question a little bit earlier, Mr. Fry, of what would be the benefit in waiting as opposed to locking in now. I I don't see the benefit in waiting past that 2024, but I could see the benefit in waiting the next 2 years prior to the 2024 as we clarify the opportunities and the actual costs of those different opportunities. That's how I'm thinking about it right now.
And I, presuming there's no projects that are going to happen in that timeframe, I would agree with you. What we do know is there's at least one significant project that thus far at least has not asked for CRA that's going to happen next year. Maybe they ask for the CRA, maybe they don't.
But if they do ask for it, and we do a 10-year TIF, we will never get any money from that. Never. The only way we'd get any money from that would be if we did a 30-year TIF after the CRA expired.
But that gives us, and I'm not saying that I want to wait 2 years. My tendency is to sit down and try to negotiate a longer-term structure with the schools, recognizing that we have the 10-year rolling TIF, but we've been talking about this for some months now. This is a big step for us. I think what you're describing, Ms. Dow, is we got a chicken or the egg thing. Do we wait until we figure out how much money we want to spend to figure out what TIF we want to put forward, or do we put the TIF in place and let the magic of time and hopefully increased property values take hold? And then at the same time, while that's starting to build, we figure out what we want to do. And if there's a shortfall in revenues from the TIF, then we have the option of saying, okay, do we want to spend the taxpayers' money that we already have in other forms and fashions to invest in the system, invest in the footprint?
Yeah, based on what I've heard today, in a perfect world, we'd have, we'd cut a deal with the schools on Tuesday and put a 30-year TIF in place on Wednesday. But, you know, obviously, that ain't going to happen. But I think that would be the best. Assuming we've got a reasonable deal with the schools.
At the end of the day,
I think it's probably to our benefit to cut a reasonable deal with the schools anyway. We don't want to antagonize our school partners.
No,
although
I would
pretty good at that. So.
I would agree with that, Mr. Ann. We want to try to be fair to the school district.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a dumb question, but why wouldn't our big project that's about to happen, why would they not ask for a CRA?
Sometimes they didn't ask for it for the renovation. Sometimes it's just not going to be that much of a, make that much of a difference.
Or they don't know.
I think Steve Reinbold and I had a discussion about it before. A lot of times, though, if you're just renovating, the valuation doesn't get changed that much to make
They're actually building quite a lot.
I'm sorry.
They're actually building
yes,
quite a
for
lot.
This one,
they're
I totally
that's
agree.
Why I'm
this one is
why
totally
they
different.
When
they
may, one.
They may still ask for it. They and like Mr. Grisdale said, because this is a pre-94 one, they can wait until after the construction and or they have to wait. They're required to wait until after the construction and everything is done and to submit the application. And Steve Reinbold may have already gotten it and given it to them and they're just waiting. That's what I just don't know. They haven't communicated their intention regarding the CRA to me. And we know that Rick Arnes and Republic are going to apply for it because that was in the purchase agreement.
Okay. Any other questions from?
One more question. How do you keep track of the rolling 10-year? Like you have to keep track of all the, who does that? We do.
Yeah. And the auditor. The auditor would keep track of it too.
So Mr. Schroyer, if we did a 10-year rolling, would that be administratively burdensome?
I don't know. I have to talk to find out what that entails.
You need a nice spreadsheet, man.
Well, there's not 5,000 parcels either.
Anymore. Right.
We are talking about a relatively limited footprint here.
Right.
But nonetheless, I thought it was worthwhile asking the question, obviously, because we need to be cognizant of the burden that we're placing on the staff as well. Any other questions from members of council?
Do we have a timeline for when we're thinking about any next steps on this?
Well, I can give you my thought process, which is, I don't know that, based on what we heard today, that we need to move this before the end of the calendar year, although preferred to have gotten it done before this. But recognizing the circumstances with the 21, it is what it is. We are where we are. So I don't know that this leaks into early next year, that that's a big deal from the sounds of it. That gives us time to sit down and talk to the school district in more detail and try to see if we can't come to some sort of a reasonable agreement for putting the 30-year TIF in place. But I certainly wouldn't want it to lag too far, at least in my opinion. I don't want to be sitting here 18 months from now having the same conversation.
So the last question that I have is, you did talk about the option for us to put something in place and that it still could be changed at a later date. Mm-hmm. And so how common is that? How frequent do you see that happening?
I've not seen that.
Okay.
Can you lay a TIF over top of another TIF?
I'm sure it's happened. I've not seen it.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is that you can isolate and have several TIF districts as well. You can do that.
So we don't have a limit on that? Okay.
I'm trying to get it down.
Because a lot of times, because of the size of our community, there's revised code provides limitations on how many things we can do.
The other thing, too, that you can do is you can get creative with your ARPA money. There's a lot of communities that are using their money for roads and for sidewalks and healthy environments. You could use your ARPA money. I know you might have that out.
Healthy environment, what are you talking about there?
Well, there's the term healthy environment in the interim IRS report, the treasury report that came out. And so communities are using this healthy environment to mean sidewalks and walking trails and stuff like that. And they're using their money really creatively. Uh-huh. Henry County actually used their money.
Do we have to do those improvements within the area of the TIF?
Oh, no. You could use that ARPA money anywhere.
Anywhere. Okay.
Anywhere, yeah.
But that's COVID dollars, right? That's the money that we...
The COVID dollars. Yeah. Henry County actually used their money, a portion, if not all of the money, to build out, so you know the old failed Walmart complex there? Mm-hmm. They closed Glenwood Avenue off of 24. And so Walmart moved over to Scott Street the way that the crow flies, like 500 feet. And so then they were left with the state of the building, and the commissioners didn't know what to do with it. So they moved in there, and they moved in all like the social services and stuff, and the vacant space. And they're using the COVID money to build that out for an emergency vaccine center. And in the meantime, while no one's getting shots, they're doing their government business in there.
Any more questions for Mr. Grisdale?
Well, should we schedule another either committee of the whole or finance committee to talk about this in mid-November?
I have no issue with that. But I think the key would be we got to sit down and have some conversations in more detail with schools.
Yeah, now that they've got
this information.
Do we need to talk internally before we have those discussions, or are we good to just go have those? You know what? Let's think this through and then schedule.
We got a lot of information tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with this as much more.
I think that's right. I agree with you. I think you're right.
But again, I don't want to let this thing linger. I'd like to move as expeditiously as reasonably possible, whatever that means.
You're not someone who generally lets things sit too long, so we're not worried.
Right. Mr. Grisdale, thank you very much for all the information.
Thank you.
We'll reach out to you if we have other questions.
Okay, yeah.
The time being with Mr. Sanford.
The second and fourth pages were probably the most important.
Yeah, helpful.
Obviously, would have been helpful. But, you know, you did a nice job playing baseball radio person.
Yeah, thank you.
So I hope you, did you listen to Ernie Harwell or what is it?
Thank you very much. Anything else to come before the committee of the whole this evening?
Move to adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn, do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second, any further discussion? All those in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried, we are adjourned at 7:35, thank you very much.